what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 5th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the CEO Senior himself, a.k.a. WWE Superstar, a.k.a. host of WWE's This Is Awesome, Greg Miller.
Blessing, how screwed up is it that it's Wednesday?
It's so fucked up.
Right?
Yeah.
All yesterday, I was like, all right, well, I got Sunday tomorrow. I'm like, no, today's Sunday. And then, tomorrow's Wednesday.
The thing that messed me up was that on Monday, yeah. Get off of work, and I'm like, oh, I have nothing going on tomorrow, but I was still tired from work.
Yeah.
And so I had the idea of, oh, I can stay up and play video games or whatever.
Sure.
I fell asleep at 8 p.m.
Damn. But you got to listen to your body sometimes. Yeah, you got to listen to your body sometimes.
That's true. I did have an active weekend. I did my birthday celebration, went bowling, went karaokeing.
Yeah.
I put myself through the gauntlet on Saturday. And so I think I needed that Monday to recover. But then yesterday, it was 4th of July, went to the Alameda County Fair with some friends. And
you went to the Alameda
County Fair?
How much lemonade did you drink?
I drank quite a bit of lemonade, yeah. Is that the thing with the Alameda?
I mean, you're at the kind, well, any kind. I went to the Marin County Fair with Lucy James, Jen, and Ben recently. And I love lemonade. For me, there's only one size.
He reaches down. What the fuck?
If you're gonna be drinking lemonade at the fair, you gotta go get a Phil's lemonade. It's fresh squeezed, and they sell the giant ass thing. And if you ain't drinking like this, you ain't living at the fair.
Is that really lemonade in there? There's no way that's actually lemonade.
No, I drank all the lemonade at the fair. Why would I Barrett, if you want to go buy me a 2-liter lemonade or make me some lemonade, I'll drink it.
You know what I had at the fair? I had a deep fried cheesecake on a stick.
Yeah, well, everything's got to be on a stick.
Everything's got to be on a stick. I'm usually not a fan of all the deep fried stuff, right?
Yeah.
All like the fair food is not my jam. Like the chocolate covered bacon and stuff like that. That's not me.
Sure.
The deep fried cheesecake, upon first bite, wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
3 bites later, one of the best things I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's just weird that it was warm. That's the only thing.
So walk me through Blessing Adeoye Jr. at a county fair. What are the, you're going to the county fair, what are the things you are going, you are, do you have the list of like, I am eating this no matter what?
I have things that I'm excited for,
okay.
But like I don't necessarily achieve all that stuff. Like I went in yesterday thinking that I was either gonna have funnel cake or a turkey leg. I had neither of those.
Sure.
Because I do like to explore. Like, Roger Courtney knows this about me. Every other week, I have a new obsession when it comes to, like, a new fast food place or, like, a different restaurant I want to go to.
That breakfast sandwich place, right?
It's
so big, Greg. You'll start to have half of them. And
now it's Wendy's.
It's happening
where
once.
I'm eating Wendy's breakfast every single day.
Yeah.
But I like to explore. And so, yeah, like, I didn't have either the turkey leg or the funnel cake.
Yeah.
I've historically been a rides person. I like roller coasters. Yesterday, I don't know if it's turning 29. I don't know if it's my age. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I did about 3 rides and I was done.
Yeah.
I could not do anymore.
Were you car sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially from the first ride. So the first ride was this.
Do you think it had something to do with the deep fried cheese stick cake on a stick?
No, because I had that toward the end of the day.
That settled your tummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the first ride I did was this gravity, like spinny machine.
Gravitron?
I think it's the Gravitron.
Where you get pressed up against the wall.
Yes, and it spins in a circle.
Yeah,
and that was my first time ever doing that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was cool, but by the time I got off of it, I felt so sick.
Sure.
Like, my stomach was going in circles. And then right after that, I think the next thing we did was, like, this water ride. That was fun, but also, like, I got way more wet than I wanted to. And so, like,
fair.
That was at the fair, so that wasn't pleasant.
Yeah.
And then the next thing we did was another, like, spinny ride where, like, you're just going in circles on, like, this bumpy kind of, like, this path. And it sucked. And after that, I was done. I was like, this isn't fun for me. I'm just going to hang out. And I did the games. We did basketball. And it was the scam basketball.
Of course.
That you're never going to make. And I really wanted
to
get
the big
Mario
tour.
Well,
now, there's a TikTok that I started following, and it's in the algorithm now that shows you how to win the Carnival games.
Yeah, right.
Like, you just toss the ball in the bucket, but he's putting a spin on it. Like, so that
it
gets there and, like, takes out the momentum when it gets
like
in the bucket.
Codes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your go-to for the county fair?
I feel sometimes I'll experiment. Last year when we went, which was the first annual, the inaugural outing of the Millers plus Lucy plus Ben going up to the Marin County Fair. We did it all. We got there and we got turkey legs, we got the corn, we got something, I forget what, some kind of crazy fries, maybe lobster fries or some things like that, like whatever. I'm getting the fried pickles, I'm doing the whole
When you
deal.
Say corn, was it like elote? Or is it just like regular corn?
Just regular corn. Okay. Just, you know, sweet corn.
I love
the
butter.
Elote is great. I'm not talking shit about elote.
Of course.
But like this one was a surgical strike where we went in the opening, which meant Ben's window was much shorter for what we had to do, how much time we had. So we got there, and of course I got the lemonade because I was feeling some fair lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
But then food-wise, always going to do a corn dog. And then I feel like I'm always going to do some corn. And it was that Ben had his corn, so I got to eat some of his corn. So I felt like I was satisfied there.
Yeah.
If I would have gone deeper, it would have been the fried pickles. And then, of course, this came up recently on the Kind of Funny podcast, and Andy shouted out the dill pickle pizza. Of course, Andy showing his naivete for an American county fair versus when we went to Toronto up in Canada and went to their, like, you know, national fair, which had a whole bunch of crazy foods like the dill pickle pizza, which I would put at the top of the list, but that is a Canadian thing. To the best of my abilities. I'm sure here in America there is some fair you are at in the middle of fucking nowhere, Idaho, that I'm not going to get it, but...
Dill pickle pizza. I don't know how I feel about that. Sounds like a step too far. Now, when you're drinking that much lemonade, are you not, like... I feel like that would dehydrate me.
Now, here's the thing, though. Remember... Yeah. Well, dehydrate.
Or not dehydrate, but, like...
I feel overhydrate, like you pee him.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like it's a lot of sugar.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you know, I'm constantly in need of energy. So the sugar would be great. Okay, a lot of people call me low energy Greg. They say Greg Miller can't bring it anymore, so he has to dope with a Coke. Exactly. I'm washed, says Barrett from over there. What are you eating? Pop-Tart. Nice. Oh, okay. But no, the sugar wasn't a problem. No. Okay. It was good. And then I was sweating so much, you know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, you gotta have something to drink. That is a lot of water.
It's the entire...
How long did that last you?
Oh, no. I mean, it came home.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we brought lemonade home, all right? I had lemonade for days. No, this is the entire, like, pitcher of water from our fridge, and then even more. Mm. That's how much water's in this guy.
Now, can I tell you what I did yesterday? That was really fun, right? Speaking of exploring at this fair, I did horse betting for the first time ever.
Like...
Horse racing.
Like, yeah. But, like, real horses or, like...
Real horses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that the fair?
Yeah.
They had horse racing at the fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It was really cool. Like, I did not know there was so much at this. This fair just kept going.
Yeah.
They had, like, a petting zoo that I... Then there were, like, multiple where there was, like, a petting zoo where it was, like, a lot of small animals and pigeons and rabbits and stuff. There was apparently another side where there was even more animals. And
did you see my burn of Andy with this?
No.
Okay, keep going. I'll get it and I'll show it. Or Bear, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you want to find it?
My friend Ernesto posted a picture, because we left before Ernesto, our friends Ernesto and Sarah. Ernesto posted an Instagram story of some little pigs doing races,
and
hopping over obstacles.
Yep.
That shit blew my mind. I was like, if I knew that was there, I would have stayed. I was really tired. I would have stayed for the potbelly pigs jumping over obstacles, because that's incredible.
Scrolling back, because we went to the fair. I feel like it's such a total and complete mindfuck of when anything happened.
Because
I'm like, oh, I went to the fair last weekend. But it's like, no, you went to the fair, like... 2 days ago, 3 days ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it feels like because of the weekend's... But Aaron, I'm sending to Control, if I can find it. There it is. Control, I'm sending you this link. And I'd like to... Yeah, we need the audio for it, of course. Because, yeah, there was pig racing at the Marin County Fair. Oh, you know...
Is this a California thing, or is this just a fair? Because I totally... I didn't know horse...
When I was growing up and we would go to Illinois County Fairs, I don't remember the pig racing.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the 4-H Club and the chickens and, like, here... But I don't remember the petting zoos either or whatever.
Here we go. To the county fair today. Excited for some pig racing. When's your race, Andy?
Fucking swine. Got him. You know what I mean?
Got his ass. But no, the horse racing was really fun. It was actual horse races, and so I went in. I put a bet. I based my bet off the best name.
So you placed your bet. Did they have like betting windows? And was it the whole thing of like to place, to show, to do all that, or was it just like who do you think is gonna win? Is this like carny betting? I don't know.
I think the way I think they had like, you know, places, windows and all that stuff. But the way I gave my bet, I think I gave it just for the win because I didn't specify that.
Sure,
much.
Fair enough.
I said, I want my bet at Pleasanton because that's where I was. Pleasanton for race number 7 because that was the upcoming race. And then I gave him the name of the horse. And the name of the horse I bet on was Our Bold Prince. And that was my favorite name out of the bunch that were in the race that I was looking at.
I like that. That's a really good name.
You know, I did that. Hung out on the track, was really fun. The vibes were great. There was the guy with the trumpet that plays the song that you all know from the horse races. And like having never been to a horse race, did not know that was like a standardized thing.
Oh, sure,
They're playing that trumpet song at every single horse race.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And the trumpet thing was really long. Like I'd never seen that instrument before in my life.
Yeah.
It was like a vuvuzela, but it was a trumpet.
Yeah,
really cool.
Yeah.
And the horse race was really excited. People were really hyped.
Sure,
like
money's on the line, man.
Yeah.
This is why gambling's so great. You know what I mean? We're gambling on PS I Love You today. This is what it's all about.
We're doing bets. And I've never been somebody for gambling. Even when I've gone to Vegas, you know, I've tried it. Not for me. Horse betting? Oh, man. That's for me. That was a really fun time. Yeah.
This is how we lose blessings.
I really enjoyed the horse betting.
Yeah.
My horse almost won. Like, it got really close. And then at the last second got overtaken by some son of a bitch horse.
Did it come in like second or third?
My horse came in second,
So you couldn't, like, show. You would have won some
I messed up. But I almost got some. I almost won some money. But, hey, that's not what the show's about. This show's about video game news, Greg. So let's talk about Microsoft anticipating a PS5 Slim this year, Banjo-Kazooie devs shutting down our dreams for a new game, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. A new Kinda Funny podcast is up titled, Should You Eat Shrimp in the Daytime? Greg, I heard you hyping this one up.
You saw me hype it up probably on Twitter, where I was like, listen, people are always saying I'm a new Kinda Funny best friend, or where would you tell somebody to start Kinda Funny content, or what's a must listen to or watch? This is one of those. All four of us are on point. Barrett's on point. Everyone is just crushing it. Everyone's A-gaming it. We're all just friends hanging out and having a great time. And there are so many, yes, hilarious bits on it. To the point that, yes, when I came in today, I wasn't hyping up. I was just telling Mick, like, we didn't fucking miss. Like, I was like, I went back and showed Jen parts of the podcast, which I never do. And I was like, anytime I jump to anything, we're in the middle of something hilarious.
That's awesome.
Fun. But
I'm just noticing the set too, with like the eagle. It was flag, England.
It was our fourth call episode. We had to call out England for losing us, of course.
Of course.
But my question for you is: do you think shrimp is a nighttime food or a daytime food, or can it
shrimp?
Be both?
I think it's both.
Thank you very much.
Why would it just be a nighttime food?
Because Nick was one.
I said, oh yeah, Jen, before the wedding, Jen and I at lunch had some shrimp, and Nick was like, what? Shrimp? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, shrimp? Shrimp is in fancy dishes, and fancy foods are for nighttime. That was his
argument.
You
know what? I kind of understand the argument. What were you eating shrimp with?
It was like a shrimp cocktail. Because like we were doing a grazing thing where it's like, you know, we don't want a big meal, so we had a bunch of veggies and hummus and some, the pita bread. And then, yes, we had some shrimp cocktail there and a little
I think it's way more common that you're having shrimp in the nighttime than the daytime, for sure.
But then I also offered, what about, like, I hear you, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but, like, what about, like, seafood restaurants? Like, yesterday, this is actually inspired by the podcast because I had it on my mind. We went to Sam's Anchor Cafe over in Tiburon, which is famous for their lobster roll, right? Mm. And I was like, well, what about a shrimp roll? I was out there having a beer, sun, I'm on the water, you know what I mean? And I was,
that's acceptable. Yeah, that, thing, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. Thank of course, you can find that episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast over on youtube.com/KindaFunny and on podcast services around the globe. And then remember, this is truly the last call for our merch on the RT store. So buy one, get one free with the code BONGOS, that is BONGOS, through the end of the week. You can do that on kindoffunny.com/oldstore. Of course, that is our old store. So kindoffunny.com/oldstore. If you want to see our new store, just go to kindoffunny.com/store. Check out what's there.
I appreciate that someone cut out the, probably Joey, sing closing time. Because I was ready. I was ready to go into it.
No, I cut that out.
Oh, okay. I would have. You would have lost the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're already 13 minutes into this show. I don't know if you have time for another whole rendition of that song. But I appreciate that.
Also, if you want to check out the new store, you go to kindoffunny.com/store. Guess what?
What's that?
Drop coming soon.
Ooh,
so like, that's the thing. You missed your shot at the summer collection, but you can enter email there and get it. How soon? I don't know. I know it's soon.
And then speaking of giving us money, over on Patreon, there's a new episode of Kinda Foodie up right now, and it's the return of Kinda Foodie. What many would say is the best episode of Kinda Foodie.
I wonder who wins
thus far.
I wonder who is
tune in to see if Greg can keep his Foodie championship,
or if Roger finally wins,
or if Roger finally wins one. Of course, he's still winless over on Kinda Foodie.
If Roger wins one, we smash the trophy. All right, we start a new one.
Fair enough. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A big game does it.
Starting with our number one, Greg, can you still believe that more news is coming out of the Microsoft FTC trial?
I guess.
Sony is expected to release a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year, Microsoft says. This is from Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Microsoft believes Sony will release a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year, priced at $399.99, according to a court document. In the paragraph on price, Microsoft attempts to convince Judge Jacqueline Scott Corley the Nintendo Switch should be considered in the same market as the Xbox Series consoles and the PS5, an argument it believes boosts the image of Xbox as losing the console war in third place. It's the final sentence in this paragraph that sures to ruffle Sony boss Jim Ryan's feathers, as it not only outs the long-rumored existence of the PlayStation 5 Slim, but its price too. Quote, PlayStation likewise sells a less expensive digital edition for $399.99 and is expected to release a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year at the same reduced price point, reads the document. The bombshells continue with Microsoft saying further down, quote, Sony is also anticipated to release a handheld version of the PS5 later this year for under $300. This is in relation to Sony's announced Project Q, a handheld streaming device that wirelessly connects to the PS5. Sony has yet to release announce a release date or price. Greg, what do you think are the chances we get a PS5 Slim later this year?
I mean, never say never. But this is one of those, this is very much, and I'm not talking shit about anything or anybody, right? But it is very much of when industry analyst says he thinks this is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, yeah, if you're an audio listener, Barrett's showing the PlayStation 5 taller but slimmer.
making like, it more just imagine in your head the console version of Long Mario. That's what we have here.
Like if you're usually getting like a McDouble from McDonald's and then you one day order just a regular cheeseburger and you see how skinny that thing looks, that's what this looks like.
It's the thing where, you know, so like anybody can predict anything. We predict stuff all the time and we're right or we're wrong and everybody forgets either way because it doesn't matter. Everybody knows we're just talking and making educated guesses. These are educated guesses. Mm-hmm. And so for the bombshells continue, no, full stop. The bombshell would be an email from Jim Ryan gets pulled into evidence and it says, and you know we're releasing a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year. That would be the bombshell of the confirmation from Sony that this is happening. Mm-hmm. Microsoft sitting here and saying, well, they're doing this or that. It's like, again, as we talked about at length with this trial, right, it is everybody saying anything to possibly screw this up and make their side of the case the winner.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what this is. And even like I remember when this originally broke, the Project Q thing getting pulled out of people were like, Microsoft saying it's going to be under $300. And it's like, that's them.
Under $300.
That's an educated guess as well. Yeah. I would say it's going to be under $300
exactly.
too, right?
Like, you know, like under $300 could mean $100, could mean $200.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a wide window to work with.
And so again, like throw darts at the board, you do whatever you think. Like, yes, PlayStation is going to release a redesigned PlayStation 5 at some point. Mm-hmm. Of course, we keep talking about the rumors from Tom Henderson, right? Of like, hey, it's going to have the detachable disc drive, right? We're going to have this PlayStation version that PlayStation 5 comes out that has detachable disc drive, so it can be cheaper and yada, yada, yada. Is that the Slim? Is it not the Slim? Is that what they're talking about? Mm-hmm. Are they saying they're using, you know, mixing their words up here in terminology just to make their case or whatever? Who knows? Yes, there is going to be a PlayStation 5 Slim at some point. I can't wait for it, as I just said, as somebody who dragged his PlayStation 5 to Napa on vacation, where it's like, man, didn't think about how big this was. And back in the day when I traveled with my PS4, it was so easy to slip into my carry-on. This one sucks. Yes, it's going to happen. And then to get to, is it going to happen this year? I highly doubt it. Now, that's me. That's just me talking. I don't know. I don't anything. Why do I highly doubt it? I feel like every time there's a redesigned PlayStation, the leaks start coming way sooner. Now, again, the air in my argument is the fact that what about this detachable disc drive? We've heard about this thing for it feels like forever, probably only a year, right? That we've heard these rumors from Insider Gaming, right?
Insider Gaming,
yeah. There's just so many Inside Gaming, Inside Games, of Insider course. Gaming. I don't even know which one Lawrence is on. There's a whole bunch going on.
That is Inside Games, I think. No,
is it really?
No,
is it really?
Insider Games.
Anyways,
Inside the Games.
Inside Gaming?
Insider Gaming. Okay. Tom Henderson gaming? Is Insider Gaming.
Insider Gaming has been talking about this. Inside the Gamer has been talking about this one for so long that, like, that could be real. That could be the thing. It's just, is it? Like, I don't. It's been such a weird console cycle in the way that, of course, we launched it during a pandemic. We launched it during a chip shortage. It seems like it's just really, in recent memory, calmed down, even though I still haven't seen a PlayStation 5 just on a shelf anywhere. But again, I'm in San Francisco, and again, I'm not really, when I walk by the Target electronics aisle, I'm usually going to toys, so I'm not really like peeking my head in there. It's going to happen. When is it going to happen? I don't know. I don't think it's here, but I could be wrong. It just doesn't seem like there's been enough leaks about it. You know, what I jumped to was as never being the date person, right? What about the PlayStation 4 Pro?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
PlayStation 4 Pro announced September 7th, 2016, released on November 10th. So that's, I mean, I'd love to sit here and be like, oh, well, it's too late in the year to announce a PlayStation 5 Slim. Clearly isn't. Now, the question does become, is it too close to Project Q to announce, hey, we're lowering the price of the PS5 and we're putting out this Project Q, and so then suddenly they're competing with themselves a little bit for what people want to spend their money on.
Yeah.
I think they use both to kind of market the other. You know?
That's where I'm at with it, is I think it feels like the PS5 just came out, but PS5 came out at the end of 2020, right? We're in 2023. We're kind of getting there into the console generation. By next year, we're probably talking about being halfway through this console generation, right? We're talking about being about 3 to 4 years in. And so, yeah, I think now is where you start to refresh your console slate and look at, all right, what is this next phase? What does the second half of the PS5 look like? And for the rumors that have been swirling around about the detachable disc drive and all this stuff, I could see the case for this fall being, let's phase in Project Q, right? Let's phase in a PS5 Slim. Let's phase out the big bulky PS5. Let's phase in the detachable disc drive in case people want to be able to play discs on their console. And then 2024, you're then talking about a PlayStation 5 Pro. I could see that start to formulate as a strategy. One thing is that too much, right? Like, is that going to muddy the message if you have all this hardware stuff coming out? You know, I think maybe if you spread out a PS5 Slim and a PS5 Pro, maybe you're fine. But then also,
if what we're talking about is true and in all of it's accurate, the detachable disc drive PS5 has to be the PS5 Slim. So that's just one thing.
Yeah.
Then it's the Q. And I think what you would do is like, we have the slim PS5. It's smaller. It's a better form factor. It's this, that, the other. And then be like, there is a disc drive if you want. I don't think that would be a big part of the push. Mm-hmm. I think all the product images you would see would be without the disc drive.
The thing that I'm trying to visualize is when you go to a store, let's say around this time 2 years from now for a PS5, what are you looking at, right? And I think if a PS5 Slim is coming in, so let's say replace the discless PS5, that comes in at $400, and yeah, you have that and then like a detachable disc drive to go along with it. I think you then phase out the two models we have out currently and then eventually phase in the PS5 Pro, which could take place of the more expensive PS5. Yeah. Maybe that even comes in at $600 because you're going to tout how this thing can do like 16K visuals or whatever the fuck, 120p, I don't know. Like, I think that starts to become the conversation of let's phase out what we have now so we can phase in these newer refined versions of the PS5. And I think that starts to make sense. I look here at Tom Henderson, who's been the main source of a lot of these leaks and rumors.
Yeah.
And he tweeted out January 23rd of this year, on all the PlayStation 5 Pro / Slim rumors, I don't think it's a Pro or Slim. My understanding is that it's just Gen 2 of the regular PS5.
Yeah.
The normal PS5 will cease production at the end of this year, and the new model will start in April and begin selling in September. Sony wouldn't cease production of the Gen 1 PS5 if they had different consoles in production for different price points / specs. The new PS5 will reduce costs in production and shipping because they can produce just one console with a detachable disc drive. And so maybe it is just a look at, maybe it is not a Slim and a Pro. Maybe it is, hey, this is Gen 2 of the PS5.
Which I have to imagine be slimmer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Could be slimmer, maybe more powerful. Maybe it does have a bit more capability there. And it is just digital. Oh. And if you really want to play physical stuff, boom, you got a detachable disc drive to play on it.
See, I think it's just going to be a form factor. Because I'm on the Insider Gaming article from Tom, like you're talking about, this the September 2022 one, right? Where he's talking about it for the first time. And he's talking about it's going to have almost identical hardware as the existing consoles already on the market. Mm-hmm. Granted, things change and you're getting this all rumored, yada, yada, yada. Anything could, you know, whatever. And then a new detachable disc drive could entail that the PlayStation 5 will be slimmer and lighter, which is something Sony's been trying to implement effectively with the latest PS5 models. But yeah, it goes on to be like that. And I think that's the idea, right? Is like, yeah, like, bring the price down, bring the size down, and if you do that by cutting the disc drive. But yeah, I don't think this is a Pro. I don't think this changes anything in terms of the tech, because, of course, wait a couple more years, put that one out.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, do you wait long? If you wait long enough, is there even a point anymore of putting out like a more powerful version? Because like, I'm looking at next year as the halfway point, right? Like, I imagine we'll get, and this isn't me working off the rumors that we got from the Cora case. This is me doing the math of like, you know, a console cycle is seven years, right? Maybe 8 years.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, yeah, 2028 we're looking at for a PS6 and the next Xbox. And so you're not going to put out a PS5 Pro in 2026, right? Like, And so I look at this and I more so align myself not with how the email frames it as being out later this year. I do go with Tom's assumption of, or Tom's leaks of next year, right? Fall 2024 for what we're talking about for a slimmer PS5 or a new model of a PS5. And like, I think that then does it for the rest of the generation for PS5 hardware.
See, my thought there would be that this has been a slower transition. And again, this is me talking out of my ass. You're all welcome to write into your wrong with better examples or whatever. Mm. It feels like this has been a slower transition to getting everybody on the current generation in terms of like, we are making a game that is just for this generation, right? And I'm looking back at Sony's first party lineup as well, right? In terms of like what games they, like Horizon, mm-hmm. that they've done it, but then Horizon DLC, of course, isn't for both generations. And I feel like if you're going to put out a PS5 Pro, I don't feel like people are getting all the juice out of both the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X yet. And so I feel like you'd get closer and closer to that. You get to a PlayStation 5 Pro that is able to do a few more bells and whistles, because you're just competing with PC at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get the experience people are getting over there on your console. And yeah. I think that elongates the cycle because, again, the shortages didn't let you sell enough. And again, they are selling incredibly well.
But would that just be the PlayStation 6 that you did that with then? Like, I think we're getting into, like, how do you phrase it on the box or whatever? And if it is, I think if it, let's say next year you're doing a thing that's not more powerful, it is just a, you know, better form factor PS5. If we get a few years past that and it is, all right, we've gotten the power out that we've needed to out of this thing, and you are going to put out something marginally better, I feel like you slap a six on it, and then, yeah, like, whatever the other features are, yeah, it sells better too, right? And you can market it better. I think that's how you go about it.
That's true. That's fair. That's a really good point.
So no Slim this year is what you're thinking?
No, I don't think so. I just feel like it's, again, I feel like we would have heard something. Mm-hmm. I feel like it clutters the message with the remote play device, even though, yes, you could bundle them together and be like, oh, or not even, literally, well, yeah, literally bundle them together, but then bundle the announcements together. But again, I think people look at it like, oh, I'll just buy the smaller PS5, mm-hmm. or, oh, I haven't bought a PS5. I don't care much about this. I think you let that go. And yeah, it just doesn't feel right yet in terms of doing it.
I'll tell you my bet on PS I Love You XOXO, recording later today, coming out later this week.
Yeah, it'll be out on normal on Friday, but we're, you know, screwed up week.
Story number two, Banjo-Kazooie devs are unsure the audience is there for a new game. This comes from Andy Robinson at
Let Yo me just Chronicle. Answer their question. No, it's not there.
Really?
Don't worry
let's
about
get,
it.
Let's read the article. I think
Shut
it's
up
a good
about
conversation.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Key members of the original Banjo-Kazooie team have said they're doubtful of a new entry in the beloved 3D platformer franchise will release in the near future. While dormant for some years following its last original game in 2008, the Banjo-Kazooie franchise has become more prominent lately. Last year, the N64 original was added to Nintendo Switch Online, and before that, Banjo and Kazooie were added as playable characters in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. In 2020, Xbox boss Phil Spencer said that any revivals of classic Rare franchises were up to Rare itself. However, speaking to VGC, as part of an extended interview to mark Banjo-Kazooie's 25th anniversary, a group of original Rare team members have said they're not expecting a new game anytime soon. And despite a $3 million Kickstarter and over 1 million copies sold for their spiritual successor, Playtonic Games' Yooka-Laylee, composer Grant Kirkhope questioned whether the audience was truly there for a new game. Quote, "I feel like you'd have to get a team with the humor that we had back then, and that's hard to replicate," he said. "I think Rare would be open to somebody if they found the right team, but I don't feel like that team exists. Also, I'm not convinced that the audience is there either. I don't feel like there are that many Banjo fans out there. The whole Smash Brothers thing was spectacular. It really was. I think all the team that worked on that game had a tear in their eye when Banjo turned up in Smash Brothers. It was just an unbelievable release of emotion. Seeing all those fans crying on videos was heartwarming, and we felt it. This was a once-in-a-lifetime event when that happened. But I still feel like, is there that multi-million dollar thing within Banjo-Kazooie? I'm not convinced there is," end quote. And then lead programmer Chris Sutherland echoed Kirkhope's sentiment, quote, "For a long time, there was doubt whether there was any audience for that kind of game. Of course, there's some audience, but is there enough to justify the kind of scale of a game you would need now for a first-party title," he said. And then character designer Steve Mails argued that the best way to revive the Banjo-Kazooie series would be via a modern remaster, so that rights holder Microsoft could keep down the costs and gauge interest from players. So, Greg, you don't think Banjo-Kazooie is going to hit if it comes out?
No, not big enough, I think, is what they'd want. I think everything they're saying here is the correct answer. Is there that multi-million dollar thing within Banjo-Kazooie? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. And that's not to say there aren't Banjo fans. I see all 12 of you in the chat yelling at me. Like,
how dare you?
I got to swing even when I'm being nice. No, I think that there are Banjo fans there. I think there is a nostalgia for those things. But it is that idea of just like, does that move the needle for a modern audience, for a new audience? Does it make sense to Xbox to make a first party one, to dedicate one of their teams here? Like, there's a bunch of different ways to do it and make it smaller. I personally, if I was the rights holder to Banjo-Kazooie and it was like, we need to do another Banjo-Kazooie, I would look at any of the, I mean, you throw a rock, and how many amazing independent studios do you find that are making, you know, these kind of games, these kind of platformers, mm-hmm. right? And then go to them and be like, all right, cool. A Hat in Time developer. Everybody loved A Hat in Time. What would you want to do with Banjo-Kazooie? Go to some of the other games that are inspired by it. Talk to those.
I mean, even the ukulele folks.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
But even then, it's just like, those games aren't breaking through. Those games aren't breaking through because of IP. And then is this the IP to do it? Because even, I just feel like Banjo is a game people love, yes. And I think the inclusion of Smash was such a brilliant move, obviously, because people wanted that so bad. And Smash is all about nostalgia. But I don't know if there's a modern hunger for it for a mass scale.
See, I think it's worth testing. Because to your point, I tend to agree about the multi-million-dollar thing, right? Like, if you put out a Banjo today, it is not selling 10 million. It's so funny to see you drink out of this lemon thing. It's not selling 10 million copies, right?
Like a big mosquito.
Like, how many... you do look like a mosquito. How many copies of
That's
Banjo?
That's the game should bring back, Mr. Mosquito. Where's that one, you know?
God, no. How many copies of Banjo-Kazooie are you selling? Now, the question then becomes, how many do you need to sell when Game Pass exists? And that's your old strategy as Microsoft,
great point.
Right? Like, do you need to sell 5 million copies of Banjo? Or can you have 5 million players come in and play it on Game Pass and help fill out that catalog, which I think is a bit more about consistency and consistency of quality as opposed to having these big hitters that are able to, you know, get 20 million people in or 25 million people in, right? I think you need one or two of those a year, but then I also think you need enough stuff there to fill out the catalog so you have reason to stay subscribed and not let your subscription lapse.
Sure.
I think there's something there.
But that's back to me, I think, even my argument. Oh, cool, let's make smaller games. Let's make smaller
sure.
Banjo-Kazooies, right? Yeah.
But I also think that I think there's a way to get Banjo-Kazooie there, and I think that does start with the remake. I think if you do what... Crash Insane Trilogy did with Crash, and you remake Banjo, make it look modern, bring the energy up to where it feels like a 2023 game and put it back out there. I think you see it sell, maybe not as much as Crash did, right? Because Crash is Crash, but Banjo is still Banjo. I do think that there's sauce there when you're talking about how much people love Banjo. Like, Banjo, I would say, is when you're talking about like the tiers of like popularity of 3D platformers in general, right? Like at the top, you're talking about Mario, right? Maybe Wahoo. Sonic even. Under that, you're talking about, I'd say, Crash. And like right under Crash, I think you're talking about Banjo. I don't think Banjo is that far off from Crash. And Crash Insane Trilogy sold insanely well. Like it had, I remember listening to KHD and so many of the stories were talking about how consistently Insane Trilogy was in that top 10 spot for the month in MPG.
For sure.
I think you can maybe replicate something there with Banjo, especially if you put it on Nintendo Switch, right? Especially if you put it on multiple platforms. I think that starts to get the interest up, and I think that then might set the table for you to put out an original Banjo game and have it come from a Playtonic or the Hat in Time dev or Double Fine or whoever you can find to actually make a really good Banjo game. I think there's something
a Double Fine, yeah. A Double Fine Banjo, because you could be super.
Would be super dope. Would they want to do it is the question.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't think it would at all be, you know, the Banjo people want or are expecting, but that would make me excited.
Yeah. I also think there's something there with the Smash thing as well. You know, I think Smash has this power to get people passionate and excited about a franchise. Like it's done that through its history. It brought Fire Emblem to the West, right? Exposed so many people to Fire Emblem, exposed so many people to things like Earthbound and even F-Zero, right? Like, of course, those are popular on the Super Nintendo before, but I know so many people that are like me that might have came up with an N64 that no NES from Smash and then retroactively went back and played Earthbound or went back and played F-Zero. I think Smash might even have that effect with something like Banjo-Kazooie, where you put a Banjo on Switch and you have people going crazy for it because their excitement for that franchise is up now with Smash.
This is, I'm on Polygon somewhere? But anyways, in an interview with IGN's Ryan McCaffrey as part of Podcast Unlocked, when discussing developing titles within Microsoft's portfolio, Schaefer commented, quote, "It's an interesting thing to think about, but I think that would be a bad use of Double Fine. Mm. Our whole thing is making stuff up," end quote.
That's fair. It's very fair. Speaking of things coming back, story number three, F-Zero is no longer relevant because of Mario Kart, says former dev.
I love it. All the old devs are just like, yo, shut up.
Y'all don't
let
like
your
this
nostalgia
shit anyway.
Die.
This is from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. A former F-Zero developer believes Nintendo's long-dormant racing franchise has remained that way due to the success of Mario Kart. Speaking to VGC, F-Zero artist and the designer behind Captain Falcon, Takaya Imamura, implied that the game wouldn't be worth the risk when Mario Kart is already incredibly successful, having sold nearly 50 million copies for Nintendo Switch as of November 2022. Imamura was asked why Nintendo games such as Star Fox get more attention than F-Zero. I think it's because Mario Kart is Nintendo's most popular racing game, and a new F-Zero would cost a fortune, he said. My impression is that Nintendo executive Shigeru Miyamoto is very affectionate about Star Fox. The original F-Zero launched way back in 1990 and was followed up with a handful of games, the final one being F-Zero Climax in 2004. That marks almost two decades since fans last saw a new entry. Despite Nintendo showing love to other older franchises with remakes like Super Mario RPG or sequels such as Luigi's Mansion 3. Nintendo hasn't completely forgotten about F-Zero, of course, ironically making Mario Kart 8 DLC based on the classic racer, and last year released N64 game F-Zero X on the Nintendo Switch Online library. This is one I agree with.
Like, I got no attachment to this one, so yeah, fuck this one.
So yeah, fuck F-Zero. You know what, I got time for that.
I think Banjo's on the same level, I'm going to be honest.
No, absolutely not.
Banjo's nowhere near Crash, I'm going to be honest.
Banjo's way more popular than F-Zero, though. And Banjo, I don't think Banjo's near Crash.
And it's not near Crash.
No, it's near Crash.
It's really not.
But it's way better. We can all agree it's way more popular than F-Zero.
Like five people
won an F-Zero.
Okay.
You're looking at me, you're going to tell me I'm wrong.
I'm wrong.
The money. People want a Banjo, and one of them's Paris, and the other one's you, so.
Listen, bring back Banjo. It's a lovely franchise. It's an incredible franchise. Great video games.
What if they bring all it back in like a Toys to Life?
Don't say that. Don't say that. What if they brought back Banjo, but then took inspiration
from...
They took inspiration from Tears of the Kingdom, and now you can build things.
That's nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that game did what it did.
I never heard of that.
Oh, it's a game that came out that kind of killed the franchise or any momentum it had for it.
Nuts and bolts?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's on Xbox, too.
There was a Banjo on Xbox.
Yeah.
I thought those were Nintendo 64 games.
No. They did a whole thing, and people were super excited, and then they played it like, oh, I'm not excited about this.
They made Banjo fat for a gag.
No way.
Yeah.
For a laugh. Huh. A lark.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Well, while I ponder about this, right, let's talk about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsor. And we're back with story number 4, Rise of the Ronin leak suggests a Q1 2024 launch and more. This is from Liam Croft at Push Square. Details and screenshots have leaked for PS5 console exclusive Rise of the Ronin via a Discord server run by the former insider, The Snitch.
The Snitch. What a name.
The images feature a look at the map, a quest description, and what looks like symbols for a skill tree. The game from Team Ninja is then described as a mix of Assassin's Creed, Ghost of Tsushima, and Dark Souls. It's then claimed item descriptions link into the lore, fueling the wider world, a la every FromSoft games since Demon's Souls. But the design of a side quest is a lot more like the Ubisoft formula. You'll be able to pick between various difficulty options, there will be a skill and technique tree, and you'll be able to choose between quality and performance mode to fine-tune the experience. Romance options will also be a thing, and the game is planned for release in Q1 of next year. This is one that I'll say, take with a grain of salt. This is coming from a leak that's coming from screenshots that are coming from a Discord server and The Snitch. And so,
The Snitch.
Yeah, take that with a grain of salt. But also, Greg, is this one that you're looking forward to?
Yeah. We talked about this, right, from the debut at State of Play.
Yeah.
September, right? Yeah. That this looked dope. You know what I mean? I'm down for more... games in this genre, in this space. Again, it's always been we loved Ghost. You know, you love the Assassin's Creed games. We love the stuff. We love the fact that Assassin's Creed is finally doing one. I always forget the code name for it.
Red?
Red, right. Yeah. I was like, is it Jade? Is it Red? Is it Hexy, whatever the hell it is. This looked dope. You know what I mean? I hope it lands. I hope it's great. I think it's a great idea for a game. And I'm stoked to know more about it. Yeah, so I'm down for the leak and The Snitch and everybody else on Discord to come through and do it.
Yeah. I mean, 2024 is already the window that they've set for the game, and so it being Q1, I think makes sense. Well, Long Fallen Dynasty came out earlier this year, and so if their cadence is we're gonna hit the first quarter, the first two quarters of every year, so far they've been nailing that, right? Like, right. Stranger of Paradise is also last year, the first half of the year. And so that might just be Team Ninja's cadence. And yeah, I'm excited to see them do something different.
That's the biggest thing, right? Yeah, do something different.
I know a lot of people love Nioh. I enjoyed Stranger of Paradise for what it was. And I also enjoyed Wulong Fallen Dynasty for what it was. But this being a game that is more akin to an open world Assassin's Creed game.
That's awesome.
Right? And like seeing, the screen we're looking at right here where the dude jumps off and the wings open, he's flying around. That combined with...
And then, of course, the combat you love.
Yeah, like it combined with the stylings of a Ghost of Tsushima. And yeah, this combat that looks dope, that is... You know, looks like it's taking from what they've already done with games like Wulong and Nioh and stuff. I think this has a chance of being a hit, right? I think it just needs to come out and give us the stuff. I think it needs to have the stuff. But I think all of what they're setting up is going to speak to a wider audience. Like, it sounds like a Greg Miller is going to be into this because of the fact that it is doing more in this open world. And
right.
There's
it's
a story
not
there
just
and stuff.
The Tecmo Koei action or Team Ninja action, right? Yes. Where you'd expect, where it's just, all right, cool, it's an action game. Like, I want a cool story. I want cool quests. I want a cool world to explore. If it's going to be that open world, right, or as they call it, a mix of Assassin's Creed, Ghost of Tsushima, and Dark Souls. I like all three of those things for different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. My thing about Dark Souls and Souls games in general, right, are the fact that I usually don't like the world. I just don't want to spend my time in that world. That's the world I want to spend my time in. 100%. It's not the combat or the challenge of it that gets me. It's the fact that I don't want to be in this wet world.
You know, like how wet the world
squelching.
Is? Oh, man, I love how wet those worlds are. Story number 5. Xbox and Bethesda are attending Gamescom 2023.
What?
This comes from a tweet from @Gamescom, where they tweet out, breaking news, @Xbox and @Bethesda will join us on the show floor for #Gamescom2023. More details soon. Greg, what could Xbox and Bethesda have to show in August?
Well, Starfield to begin with. Let's get people hyped for that. Again, you know, this is a show floor thing, right? So it'll be interesting what they have hands-on for people who are there. Obviously, Gamescom is such a big consumer show. What will you actually allow people to play? Will there be Starfield booths there to play? Which sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, cool.
I mean, there's going to be some kind of activation.
An activation for sure. Yeah. But like, you know, what do you actually have people playing? Of course, Gamescom for us gets exciting for opening night live. You know, what's Jeff got up his sleeve this time? What's he got there? He's working with them again. You know, what announcements will they have as our final, you know, the end, the final bow for Summer Game Fest.
Mm.
But I wouldn't expect much from the booth to be that exciting. But yeah, it's cool that they're there.
I mean, I would expect only two things. I would expect Starfield and then Forza Motorsport.
See, I would expect a lot of Forza there.
Yeah,
Forza,
jump
on it.
You're talking about Gamescom is in Germany?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
They like cars over there. Are they like driving? So yeah, I would expect those two things. And for Starfield, who knows if it'll be playable. I think the dopest thing would be for it to be playable, but then also I think the tough thing with a game like Starfield is, like, does that come, like, does 30 minutes of Starfield gameplay do enough for people, right? Like, is that going to are you getting the Starfield experience in 30 minutes? Do they have to find the vertical slice in that game that is, all right, you're shooting
that's
here.
Why I think you saying activation makes more sense.
Yeah,
you have all these demo stations for Forza, and then you have some photo op that's a Starfield spaceship or some shit like that.
That'd be really cool. Explore a spaceship.
Yeah.
And build your own spaceship.
Okay.
And then fly it around, Germany?
You're flying around Germany?
They went to space. They went to the moon, right? That's the thing they did.
I don't think they did. Did they?
Right. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Who's been to the moon?
Who all's been to the moon? Nobody.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Have you seen the crosshairs?
Let's be fucking real. Story number 6, our final news story. Venba has gone gold.
Yay!
This comes from @VenbaGame on Twitter. Venba has officially gone gold on all platforms. We're all set to release on July 31st on PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Nintendo Switch, PS5 at the same time. It's Venba release month. Greg, you're excited for Venba.
Can't wait. Yeah, of course, they came through for the GDC stream. We had it on there. We saw this demo. Of course, I love cooking, and I love being emotionally devastated, and that seems like both of these things will happen in this game. Of course, full disclosure, it's one of the Pop Agenda games they're helping market or whatever, which is my wife's company. But, you know, I shit on those games all the time, too. You know, it just seems like a great art style. It seems like a great story. It seems like an interesting journey through the life of Venba here. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, that's what I love.
You love Venba?
I love getting into somebody's head and playing for them and making some kind of rice tower. That's dope as
hell. I like the art style. Yeah, the art style, I think, might be the main thing to get me in. That plus how focused on food it is. Like, I love when food in video games just looks so appetizing.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about it where you're like, even in cartoons or in anime, I'm like, oh man, that looks so good. Yeah. But yeah, having a game that is fully focused on that, and then getting a cool story and a cool perspective in the game, that very much strikes me as exciting. And so
this is one of my games on my draft too, my fantasy draft with us. So yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Doing great about my fantasy draft.
Your draft? Have you filled things out since the last time we checked it?
I got that. Remember, last time we checked in on kindoffunny.com/KFLeague2023, where you can see the XCast and PS I Love You squaring off. And it's really just PS I Love You versus PS I Love You because XCast sucks at this.
Oh, XCast is terrible. Isn't that right, Mike?
It was the thing where... It was
the LCast.
It was me and Janet had split games, right? Where I had picked up Super Mario RPG Remake, she grabbed Super Mario Wonder, and then I also got Star Ocean Second Story R.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so I picked that up, gotcha. Which is pretty happy. What have you filled out here? You got?
I filled out mine a while ago. Like mine's all done.
Oh, I thought Viewfinder was a late addition for you.
Well, yeah, no, it was. That was the last thing I picked up. I picked that up. Right when I got back from Summer Game Fest.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, I have that Ghost Runner 2, Helldivers 2, Stray Gods. Like a lot of indie. I have Cocoon
football,
on here.
Football Manager 2024.
Oh, yeah. Football Manager 2020. You got to play the
smart.
Game.
Smart.
You got to play the game.
But it's also like, oh, yeah. Like that is a guaranteed at least 10 points in December.
Yes. You know? I'm feeling pretty good. It's that thing where there's not much here I would change aside from maybe Hollow Knight. I'm still holding out for Hollow Knight maybe coming out as a surprise late this year.
It's not going to happen, Bless. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe it comes out in December. Maybe they come out and they announce Silksong.
They said very clearly it's not going to be ready anytime soon.
Yeah, but that was in response to the 12 months.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on my thing has, though, this will not release. They've confirmed it will not release this year.
So you can drop that.
But it's counterpicked, so can I? Does that not screw it up?
I believe we have that setting off because it's the thing you can put off or on. So I think you should be able to drop that. But then whoever counterpicked that keeps it as a counterpick.
Gotcha.
And so congratulations to...
And we're really sure it's not coming.
Yes, we're positive.
Yeah.
Unless they somehow move it up, which would be insane.
I'm dropping it. The drop request is in.
Yeah.
And I think they probably had... Gary counterpicked that because they were probably feeling like it wasn't going to come this year.
Yeah, that's kind of... Mike, that's evil. The fact that you had Gary counterpick that. Because what if it did?
Gotta take chances.
Negative 20 points right there.
I mean, Gary doesn't.
Gotta take chances.
Fair enough. You're playing a different game because you're not playing against us right now. You're not in the same stratosphere, Mike. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, you're in a different league, Mike. I'm sorry.
Greg?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see who becomes the victor of this year's PSLV versus XCast Fantasy Draft. But the results of that are just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got... Absolutely nothing.
Oh.
There's nothing out today. We do have some new dates for you. Pixel Junk Eden 2 swings onto PS5 and PS4 later this year. And then we got some new Xbox Game Pass games for July. McPixel 3, GTA 5, Common Hood, Insurgency Sandstorm, Exoprimal, Tectonica, and The Cave are all coming to Xbox Game Pass this month. GTA 5. Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for them. And then deal of the day for you, of course, as a reminder, this is the last call for our merch on the RT store. So buy one, get one free with the code BONGOS, that is BONGOS, through the end of the week.
Kindoffunny.com/oldstore.
Kindoffunny.com/oldstore. Greg?
Yeah.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. We have just one from Bander SN who writes in and says, Lawrence and Bruce's game news channel is called Inside Games.
Okay.
Inside
Bruce Games. Bruce is on that. I didn't even know that.
You thought it was just Lawrence?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was confused, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence and Bruce. I think sometimes Yami pops up on it. But yeah, Inside Games versus Insider Gaming.
Uh-huh.
It's not confusing at all.
Not at all.
Is it Koch Primetime, Cook Primetime? And that's it for kindoffunny.com, so you're wrong. This week's hosts for the rest of the week go like this. Tomorrow, you're getting Greg and Tim. Friday, you're getting Tim and Greg. If you're watching this live...
I want your live reaction to this. You're not allowed to say what I'm going to show you.
Okay.
Okay?
Oh, interesting. And he takes a sip out of his gigantic lemonade bottle.
Never a dull moment in the Kinda Funny inbox.
Oh, that's gonna be fun. If you're watching this live, of course, only on the YouTube and the live stream, there's gonna be a 30-minute post show where Mike comes through and talks to us hosts about your YouTube super chat questions. So stay tuned after the handshake to hang out with us and have a good time. Greg?
Yeah.
This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily.
It has been.
We're each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time. Game Daily.